when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, hello everybody out there. It's nice to be back. You know, we were off last week, as you might know. If you paid attention, you played, went into our show, we played a tape. But you're listening to Blood River Radio. That's my personal belief. We're the hottest radio show going in our class. And in what we do, I don't think anybody can touch us. I really don't. If it's arrogance, so be it. You know, if you're the best there is, then go ahead and strut. Because we're the best, and we're only going to get better. But like I said, we were off last week, and Matt and Jacob are off tonight. Please pray for Matt because he hasn't been feeling very well. As a matter of fact, I've been sick. Jacob's been sick. Matt's been sick. But me and Jacob are back on the mend. So tonight it's going to be me and Lee holding the fort down. We're going to announce a little outline in just a minute. But before we go any further, you people, you always know what we do. We always have to have a prayer. So get ready. Lee is going to lead us in prayer. So go away, Lee. Take us away, son.
Okay, everybody bow their heads. Dear Lord, we want to ask you to help and protect our political prisoners in prison and their family members. Please give them support. And please help our brothers in South Africa that are being oppressed by the black majority. Give them strength and wisdom. And please help us to expose Zionism. And please help pray for the Zionists so they can see the evils of their ways and help them not to destroy the earth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you so much, Lee. Lee, your prayer goes right into what I want to say. You know, recently, people, I think we probably got away from our core issue, our core thesis, which is global white genocide. That's our number one. That's our only cause. That's our only issue on this here radio program. And with it, you could say if you got a big circle, like you're in math class, it said you got a set, global white genocide, and you got all these members of the set, you know, the member of the set, X, such as a member of this set, et cetera. You've all had math. But anyway, you have under global white genocide, you have the hard genocide in South Africa. We're having a lady come on tonight by the name of, we'll announce her in just a minute. And also, our other flagship issue is the political prisoners, people here in the United States and around the world, but especially here in the United States, that have been put in prison, have been set up, they're in there. Innocent is rain. Innocent is the driven snow. Hopefully Rudy Davis can come on in a couple of weeks and help us out with that. There's nobody better than Rudy Davis, but he's a political prisoner. Excuse me, he's a minister to the political prisoners, and he's an expert on that. But tonight, you know, we're going to have a lady by the name of Karen Smith on, and she lived in South Africa years ago. She's now in the United States. She resides in Texas. I've talked to her several times. She's going to be on a lot in the following weeks, and then we'll drop her off coming on regularly, maybe once a week. Well, excuse me, once a month. But I'm trying to tell you, we've got to get back to our roots. We've got to get back to our core, our flagship issue, and that is, I'll repeat it, global white genocide as evidence as hardcore genocide. And I think here at Blood River, we coined the term hardcore genocide and soft genocide. Hardcore genocide, it's pretty well descriptive. And when you have the people over there in Africa, to quote my brother Gene Andrews, they have a bunch of feral animals over there that the international communists have turned loose on the white South African brothers and sisters. And they're chopping them up with axes, with machetes. They're boiling them alive in oil. They're raping 2 and 3 year olds. We need to bring this back to the front, back to the case, the show every now and then, because we get too far fetched and we get too much in showmanship. We can't, we're not going to have any showmanship on this station here. It's going to be straight hardcore facts. And anyway, like I say, we got Karen Smith's going to have she's here in Texas, the United States, but she's having another one of her compadres calling in from South Africa. So we're going to have two South Africans on tonight. One that's currently living here, one is still there. Also, I want to put a shout out to little Jacob, our co-host. He's made some flyers. Pretty soon, I'm going to have him put one on our website. He's done a brilliant job of making a flyer. And I'd like to tell you, Jacob works free. I work free. Lee works free. Matt, not only is Matt work free, Matt's our biggest contributor to this show. He works his little butt off. He's working sick tonight. And I'd like to just throw this out there, too. We have a donate now button, you know. And if you don't want to know the truth, I don't know why in the hell we went through hell to get that donate button on there. It cost us money. Cost us all kinds of heartache. And you know, the only people that donated to our show on that donate button is Matt himself. We haven't had one single donation. It gets kind of discouraging, y'all, because I know we're doing this fight not just for us. We're not up here just to hear ourselves talk. I know that's a cliche. I'm a registered nurse. All these people have got other jobs. But please, my God, help us out. Send us a dollar or two in. Send us some money in every now and then, you know. Don't just sit there and soak up the message and not send any money. And if that offends you, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. If it offends you, maybe you need to be offended. So that's my personality. But anyway, we're going to be, I almost forgot, 2 weeks from now for the August 30th, 31st, and September 1st, we're going to be in Harrison, Arkansas, to the greatest group I know going right now. They're going to be, I had a flyer here from them. It's going to be the Knights Party National Congress and Family Retreat. We've been invited up there. I'm going to be able to speak a little bit. They've treated us nicer than any other group I know in the United States. They're the salt of the earth people. We're going to broadcast up there on a Saturday. We're going to be there Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And we're going to try to broadcast when we're up there, if we can get out. And we may have to buy another jetpack. It depends on if Matt can get us his that he's already bought and he's already paid the money. You have to buy it. He has to sign a contract. He's telling, I don't know anything about that tech crap. That's why I have these young guys on here to take care of that tech stuff. But pray for us. We're going up there. We're going to have some big guests. I'm going to be speaking. We have this William Johnson guy. Supposedly he's a big wheeler dealer lawyer out of California. And, he's going to be there. We got other speakers, but yours truly will be speaking there. And I'm going to quote one of my friends, I'm going to peel the paint off the wall. I really am. So if you're going to that place, if you're going there, if you know how to get there, if you need any more details, you can call me. You can contact me, Blood River Radio, www.bloodriverradio.com. Or you can go. I'll get you. Hey, we'll further on tonight. We'll get you the address, the call signal for the Robs. Well, people, hang on to your seats. We're bringing back our star guest as soon as we come back from this commercial break. So hold on to your seats, folks. Be right back.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that will preserve the vanishing resource of the American cowboy. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery that celebrates our history, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Range Magazine also features great holiday gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. You can order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
Well, people, we were right back. I certainly appreciate you holding on. I love that music. You know, as we told before, Matt Goodwin picked that music out when we were up at the Montgomery Bell some time ago. But we have a guest coming on. I'm so excited to have her on. She's such a jewel. Her name is Karen Smith. She has a radio station herself. I think it's freesouthafrica.com. I'll get her announced that in just a minute. Well, she also has another friend that's living in South Africa. Well, like at the beginning of the show, we said that Karen Smith is from South Africa. She's an African-American because she now resides in Texas. And she's bringing her friend on in a few minutes. We're going to tell you some blood-curdling stuff. Well, Miss Karen, how are you doing tonight?
Great, thank you, and you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's so nice and easy. You know what? People like you make our show just a joy. Not only is it easy, but it's a joy to have somebody like you on that shares our passion to fight what's happening to our people worldwide, global white genocide. I'm really looking forward. I consider you a treasure, and I've really been looking forward to having you out here to help us out with this because we announced. Before we came on tonight, as we were coming on, we announced our one and only purpose at Blood River Radio. The name says it all. We are here to fight global white genocide. That's our core issue, and it's in many cases, as is your core issue. But Ms. Karen, would you give the people out there a brief biography about how you came from South Africa, what went on there, why you were there, how horrible it was. What led you, how y'all had to move around different cities when you were there in South Africa when your dad finally said, well, enough is enough, you had to get out of there. So give us a brief history and biography, if you don't mind.
Oh, wow, Eddie, that's not a brief story. But anyway, I was born in the Zaire, Rhodesia. And my dad was on block watch during the Civil War, well, the war years there. They had a crowd of men who patrolled the area at night to keep us safe. And after he'd been doing this for about a year, he was beaten up very badly and left on our porch for dead. And that same night, my mom prematurely gave birth to my youngest brother from shock at home, couldn't get to the hospital. And a couple of days later, when my dad recovered, he said, you know what, I've got 5 children under the age of 10. We can't do this. I can't raise them in these circumstances. So we packed up everything we could, because at that time, if you left Rhodesia, all you could take was what fitted into your vehicle. So we packed up our vehicle with five children, two adults. You can imagine we left everything behind, our home, our furniture, everything behind. And we went to then Southwest Africa, now called Namibia. Well, in Namibia, the terrorists from Angola were coming through Namibia to go and plant bombs and cause chaos in South Africa at that time. And we lived on the very edge of the town. And a group of these people came through and held us hostage in our house for 3 days. Now, I don't really like to talk about it, because that was horrible. Psychological scar on kids' minds that you can ever imagine. But anyway, once more, my dad said, you know what? I can't raise five kids in this atmosphere. We're going to have to leave. So we left and went to South Africa. And that was in 1968 that we went to South Africa. So it was under the apartheid rule. And we were relatively happy. I mean, it was a good, clean, first-class country. Everybody had work until the Nelson Mandela violence and the bombs started. Everything in South Africa was relatively okay. But then the bombing started. Nelson Mandela decided that with the ANC that violence was the only way to get their freedom. And so he planted bombs in restaurants, in public places. Sorry, I'm trying to get my co-host. So he planted bombs everywhere. And there was a ton of violence. And then, of course, there were all the sanctions against us, so we couldn't get the things that most first world countries have got. And we're on air, Skulk. I can hear you. If you just give me a moment, I'll introduce you in a minute.
Sure. Miss Karen, let me explain to the audience what we're going through. To the audience out there, Miss Karen is going through, she's trying to get her co-host, who's calling in from South Africa. So, and this isn't easy to do. We're doing live radio, and we're talking to a lady in Texas. The lady in Texas is calling Shiny Kids South Africa. We have a Skype number through Liberty News, but evidently the Skype number is not working. We're having some difficulties. But listen, you have to appreciate what we're going through to get these people on. So I know you'll have some. I know we have a good audience, Karen. They're willing to put up with a little patience, a little noise to get the truth out, because, you know, after all, we don't have the Zao media. You know, we're not these rich Zionist Jews. We have to do this on a freight, not just a shoestring, but a freight shoestring. So I just want the audience to know that what we're going through for our people. So go ahead, Miss Karen. Continue on.
Anyway, we went to South Africa and we lived through this time of change. A lot of what you've heard about the apartheid years in South Africa are total lies. The so-called thousands of blacks murdered, et cetera, by whites are total lies. However, in 1994, when we were sold out by our politicians and by various countries around the world, and Nelson Mandela, Saint Nelson Mandela, may his halo be blessed forever, he took over and the whole country went downhill fast. And so today, where we're at today, is a direct result of being fooled by the powers that should not be, and handing over our beautiful, flourishing country to people who, as you know, when they come into this country, don't even know how to use toilets. So it's a really scary thing that we did, but that's where we are today. And so at this stage, I'd really like to introduce to you somebody who is in South Africa, who is still intimately involved in the daily doings there. My friend for a very long time, we've never met in person. We are internet friends, but we speak at least three times a day, a week on Skype. He's my co-host on Radio Free South Africa. He is Skalk van der Merwe, a father, a lawyer, an activist, and the chairman of a white rights party called National Conservative Party. Welcome, Skalk.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, Karen, and good evening, the host of the program. Thank you very much for making time for me to come and speak to you.
Well, Scott, you know, it always has a bigger impact if it's somebody who's actually boots on the ground. I've been away from South Africa for 9 years, as you know, and because I talk to South Africans every day, I have a good insight as to what is going on, but you are right there. So we chose tonight two subjects to speak to you about because they are very close to Americans' hearts, and what is happening, what has happened in South Africa and is still happening, is happening here in America at the same time. So Skalk will give you the South African side of it, and I think we'll start with the erosion of free speech because that is something that has greatly hit the news in South Africa this week. So we'll start with that, and if we have time, we'll go on to guns. Eddie, if you just call out, you know, give me a shout out when we're going to have ads. Skalk, so if you'd like to talk about the taking away of free speech in South Africa, not just this week's things, starting with the statues and burning of the books, etc.
Yes, Karen, all the horrible images that you would see in communist countries of where books are burned.
Scott, I'm sorry, we have to go to a quick break. I hear the music. And people, once again, this fellow is calling in from South Africa. So we're doing it, man. We're getting it done. We'll be right back in just a minute, people, and you're getting the scuttlebutt directly from South Africa as it's going down this very minute. Be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Here's the latest in the escalating trade war between the United States and China. President Donald Trump says products coming from China that were slated to be hit with a 10% tariff on September 1st now will face a 15% tariff. Trump also said goods and products currently being taxed at 25% now will be taxed at 30% starting October 1st. Trump's comments came after China said it would pursue new tariffs of 5 to 10% on $75 billion of U.S. products. The tariffs would take place in two steps, just as the U.S. said it would do earlier this month in imposing the 10% tariffs on $300 billion worth of Chinese goods. The rising tensions between the world's two biggest economies unnerved investors already on edge. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 623 points as companies and business groups urged the two countries to get back to the negotiating table. Remember, you can listen online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
This is sponsored by Facebook. Nearly half of all Americans know someone who's affected by opioids. But according to the U.S. Surgeon General, only about a quarter of those with an opioid addiction get the treatment they need. All too often, it is the stigma and undeserving shame of opioid addiction that forces people to remain silent rather than seek help. In an effort to address the opioid epidemic and combat this stigma, Facebook, in partnership for Drug-Free Kids and Center on Addiction, created Stop Opioid Silence, a national public awareness campaign aimed at inspiring people to break the silence and share their stories with each other, a medical professional, or family and friends. Marsha Lee Taylor is the Executive Vice President of External and Government Relations at Center on Addiction.
Our goal is to help those struggling with opioid addiction understand that they're not alone and that there are ways to find help and support.
Visit StopOpioidSilence.org and click Message for Help.
Chief Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has completed radiation therapy for a cancerous tumor on her pancreas, and there is currently no evidence of any disease remaining, according to the Supreme Court. The court said in a statement that a biopsy performed on July 31st confirmed a localized malignant tumor. Ginsburg, age 86, underwent a three-week course of radiation therapy and, as part of her treatment, had a bile duct stent placed. The court said Ginsburg tolerated treatment well and does not need any additional treatment, but will continue to have periodic blood tests. The court said Ginsburg canceled an annual summer visit to Santa Fe, but otherwise has maintained an active schedule during her treatment. Ginsburg underwent lung cancer surgery in December and has two previous bouts with cancer. She had colorectal cancer in 1999 and pancreatic cancer in 2009. While recovering from surgery, She missed arguments at the court in January, her first illness-related absence in more than 25 years as a justice. This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
People will write back, and I would just like to say we're having to switch lines to get Miss Karen back. You know, little Nicole, Sam's not there tonight. Little Nicole is doing a slam dunk job. She's going through a lot of contortions, electronical contortions, to keep this show going. Because, like I said, we're not Clear Channel. We don't have a multi-million dollar budget. Thank God we do have Sam Bushman and his kids, though. But I am eternally grateful that God led us to Miss Karen Smith, and she was able to bring her friend us from South Africa, Skulk. He's touching on things that are very vital to this country right here. If it seems like it's impossible we could wake the populace up. He was speaking about the erosion of speech, the confiscation of guns, the destruction of the statues, and I would like to add, until we get Miss Karen back, I would like to add, with the absolute destruction, the desecration of the graves of our ancestor people, that's going on. It's happened right here in Memphis. If you lived here in Memphis like I have and like Lee has, we've watched probably one of the greatest military geniuses of all time, General Nathan Bedford Forrest, was buried here in Memphis, Tennessee, around the 1890s, 1900s. People, I was told, all over the United States, all over the southern United States, say they contributed pennies, nickels, whatever they had, to have that statue built. And here we have these feral animals led by the same old prospects destroy that statue. Anyway, we got Miss Karen back. Thank you so much, Nicole. Nicole is doing a slam dunk job tonight. She's the kid. She's Sam's kid, man. All the kids, Sam's kids, are smart as a whip. But Miss Karen, before we went to a break, you were talking, you said y'all were going to cover the erosion of free speech, the guns confiscation and statues. And I'd like to also, before I go to you, I'd like to welcome the guest on Skulk. My name is Eddie Miller. I'm the founder of Blood River Radio. And is this? I'd just like to let you know, I'm really proud of this station, our radio show, because the only purpose of this show is to fight global white genocide. And our poster child for global white genocide is your country of South Africa and the political prisoners here in the United States. I'd just like to let you know that, because that's why we finance this show. That's why we go through hell to keep this show going, is for our poster children in South Africa. With that, I'm going to shut up and go back to Miss Karen. You go ahead and you run the show, my sister.
Okay, do you have Skulk online now?
We're still working on it. Okay, Nicole's still working on it, trying to get him back. So until he comes back, I'll just ask you,
the freedom of speech thing is a very big thing in the United States right now, with all of us being shut down, all conservative speech being shut down, not being allowed to have any say on social media, the consistently being called white nationalists so that they can call us terrorists, and therefore they have good cause to shut us down. I mean, you can see it happening here. You can see it happening all over the world. Anybody who does not want open borders, who does not want other colors streaming into their country and overwhelming them, is automatically shut down. So in South Africa...
Ms. Karen, Skulk is back. I don't want to interrupt you, but your friend is back. Skulk, welcome back. I was just... you probably didn't hear it, but I just gave a quick... a synopsis of Blood River Radio. We are all amateurs here. We started, we financed, we sold gold, we sold stuff to get this radio show going. And we named it Blood River Radio because our one primary issue here is to fight against global white genocide. Your country, South Africa, is our poster child for global white genocide, because that's where the hardcore genocide is going on. And with that, I'm so glad you called in, Skulk, and I'm so glad that Miss Karen could get you in. And with that, I'm shutting up and going back to this. I just want Skulk to know that, and to know how much we love him being here and how much we appreciate him being here. And so with that, Ms. Karen, we'll go right back to you.
All righty, Skulk. So nobody really heard the beginning of your discussion because the ads came on. So if you would just start from the beginning again and give it from your perspective, or how free speech was shut down in South Africa.
Okay. I hope you can hear me well, Karen.
Perfectly.
Excellent, excellent. Okay. Excuse me. Yes, we've seen the systematic eradication of the right to free speech in South Africa, at least for the last 20 years. We have a very, very nice paper constitution, and in this constitution, your right to free speech is guaranteed. But through various pieces of legislation and, society as a general, the norms and standards we are judged with, that has been slowly being eradicated in South Africa. So for instance, you would find that black activists and black political leaders can go out and basically say anything, even threaten genocide openly, and nothing more will happen to them. But if a white person even dares to speak in a tone of voice or make a remark that can be maybe construed as being racist or inciting of violence or whatever, there's usually a total overkill to that side. We would find such a person being arrested and charged with, and then brought before court and even jailed. We had examples of people being jailed for so-called crimen injuria. So in other words, whilst we have legislation actually embedded in our constitution guaranteeing freedom of speech, when it comes to the practical aspect of it, we've seen that. Now, in the last few weeks, we've seen a clampdown on any resistance, basically, to the government, especially from the right wing and especially from the white in South Africa. One gentleman there, his name is Steve Hofmeyer. He's a very well-known artist. He's also an activist. He was charged for amongst others, criminal injuria and incitement to violence, simply because he retweeted and then answered on a very harsh and racialist and racist quote from one of the black ambassadors of South Africa, the one stationed in Denmark. And that seemed quite a shock through our ranks, because we realized that they now mean business. They are literally taking people to court now for simply speaking out on social media. And in this week, they also went and they intend to charge a person by the name of Ernst Roots. He's also an activist. He belongs to an organization called AfriForum. And AfriForum was involved in a court case against the Nelson Mandela Foundation. It relates to the old flag, the old Republic flag of South Africa, in which the court in this week found that it was hate speech to display that. And then, unfortunately, Mr. Roots went on his Twitter just after the court made the decision, and he posted a picture of the old flag, and he asked, am I making myself now guilty of hate speech? And that triggered the Nelson Mandela Foundation to now threaten that they will also now charge him with contempt of court. South Africa contempt of court is a very serious offense. You go to prison for that. And then also for racism and for criminal injury and all those related charges. So it's definitely a clampdown now on any resistance, any freedom of speech, even the slightest provocation leads to criminal charges and people being dragged before court.
You know, Skulk, what is the most scary about that is those two people that you have just mentioned, Steve Hofmeyer and Ernst Roots. They are both well-known internationally. Ernst Roots was here speaking to people in Congress. He was on Fox News. Tucker Carlson interviewed him. So he is well-known internationally, and yet they are going to throw him in prison given half a chance. So if they can do that to these two people, Steve, whose concerts in the United States, in Canada, in Holland, all over the place, sold out before he even set foot in that country. If they can shut up those two famous, well-known, big public figures, then what are they going to do to people like yourself?
Yeah, no, that's a fact, Karen. And they're going for the leadership position. The people that through their constant and long-term activism has shown themselves as leaders in the cause. Now, Steve Hofmeyer has been in the firing line for very long, simply because he is tremendously popular in South Africa because he is a singing artist. He's a very well-known artist, and after that he became an activist. So he already came to the party with quite a following behind him. His Facebook page at this point in time has about 400,000 followers. So from that standpoint, he's definitely a danger to the regime because he has a very large following. And that is why they are going after him. Why they are going after Arend Zeroet is for a very simple reason that AfriForum is at this time the biggest civil rights organization in South Africa. They position themselves definitely not as conservative or even right-wing. They position themselves as a civil liberties organization, simplifying for civil rights and civil liberty. But they are definitely the biggest in number and means
Excuse me, but we have to go to a break. We have a break coming up, and as soon as we come back, we'll go right back to this people. Miss Karen is kind of running this show. I told her tonight I want her to kind of take my position because they know a lot more about South Africa than I'd ever hoped to. So we'll be right back, people, and I'll ask them a few questions, and we'll continue on.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Go ahead. Make my day.
People, we're right back for the break. And we're trying to get Skolt back again. We've lost him, but have no fear. Nicole will get back. Listen, I've got to ask, before we're waiting on our Karen's guest to get back, I've got to ask Karen a question. As a matter of fact, Karen and I, we talked about this earlier in the week. And by the way, One of my brothers just corrected my spelling. I didn't know how to spell skulk. But you know, what can you expect from these Vanderbilt grads, man? They're my biggest. They're the thorn in my side, man, because they're edumacated and I don't know all this stuff. But anyway, Karen, you know, how would you respond to people who said that you were a defeatist, that you know you were too much of a pacifist? You know, we talked about that earlier. How would you respond to that?
Okay. Can you just ask your tech people to increase the volume on the Skype call from Skulk? He can't hear you, and so it's very difficult for him to answer a question. Other than that, okay, my response to that is no, I am not a pacifist and I'm not a defeatist. I'm a realist. If you take the amount of white South Africans, which is probably at this stage about 3 million, and the total population of South Africa is over 70 million, rioting, incredibly violent, horrible blacks. Now, South Africa is 1.5 times the size of Texas, and the white population is spread out very, very widely throughout that. So you have isolated pockets of them. In the towns, in the cities, you have large numbers of them, but the farm community, etc., are spread out far and wide. So, and a million of those about 3 million people are people who are living in direst poverty. They, if they can get into a squat, they are living in their cars. They're lucky enough to still own one, or under trees with a piece of tarpaulin spread over the tree. Now, the reality of that is, if you have a populace that has been disarmed and is as widely spread as the white South Africans are, and they are so outnumbered, I mean, they are less than 8% of the population. So they're probably about 5% now. I don't think it's defeatist or anything else to say that they really don't stand much of a chance if these people... Because the army has proven over and over again they are useless. The police cannot stop them. So what is going to happen if there is a final Uhuru call that stands for freedom, but it's basically annihilate the whites, which they keep threatening it's not Uhuru yet. So if they decided tonight that it is now Uhuru, you tell me, how do the whites... stand up against the onslaught? They can't. They just can't. So no, I don't think I'm defeatist. I think I'm pretty realistic. And even Skulk, who is a I am never leaving South Africa person because I belong here, so he is definitely not a defeatist and like
me. Well, Miss Karen, I think you've done pretty good on that. We got a couple of questions. People have called in. We had a fellow. He wants us to ask you, one of our brothers, he's sent a message in. He wants to know, what is the possibility, would you think it was realistic about, I think I know the answer, about secession and starting a separatist Boer Republic? And secondly,
if Scott's online, that he's the person to ask because he's the leader of one of those secession movements.
And also I'd like
I'm
to...
Online.
Can you hear me okay, Skulk? Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you well now. And I heard the question also, it goes about secession. Yes, you must remember that the South African white population is dispersed tremendously throughout the country. So we're not really concentrated into a specific area. The old Boer republics have been overflown and overrun by foreigners, if you want to call them. The black people, they are in tremendous numbers there, millions and millions and millions of them. So for us to secede the old Boer republics, which would have been the logical step, is not going to work. It's not going to be practical, because you're still going to end up with a micro South Africa where the population will still be mostly black. Then there's secession movements to the south in the old Cape province, but they are facing a very practical problem in that the last 20 years, there's a huge movement from people from the Eastern Cape, mostly of Xhosa, black Xhosa people, moving into the Western Cape to the extent that all the projections are that within 4 or 5 years from now, they're going to be a majority there also. So, relating to numbers, it's going to be very difficult for us to secede a certain portion of South Africa. And now you must also remember that the moment that we secede, it's going to be met with force. So it's going to be a civil war in any event if there's secession. The only hope that we have is that other nations, specifically the Zulu people and the Khoisan people, the colored people in South Africa, because there's a lot of movement amongst them also for secession, they secede first. Because if we can do that, if the Zulu secede, for instance, we have a legal precedent and a political precedent to then go to the international community and say to them, well, the Zulus got their freedom, now we want ours. So, yes, we are working tremendously hard in the direction of self-determination. But the practical aspect is how do we do that?
I'll throw a few comments and questions myself. You know, Karen was telling me earlier in the conversation of the week that the black gangs in South Africa, they outgun and outfight the black police and the black, basically the picture I get. This is leading to a point that the police and the army in South Africa are pretty much a running joke. I mean, at the first sound of the gunfire, they run. The black gangs outfight them, outgun them, drive them out. So if the Zulus, I think you said, are maybe thinking about seceding, if they're armed in any way, if they have any arms whatsoever, a significant amount of arms and training, would they not be able to overcome the worthless police and military there? And also that same question would, I would think, if the Zulus could do it, you know, if the white people in South Africa have with their superior, you know, their superior intelligence. I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, if they're in, you know, it's not all about, and this is just Eddie Miller talking. It's not all about numbers, you know, how many people you got, it's how well organized you are, your tactics, you know, I heard one Marine colonel tell me one time some years ago, he said that amateurs study tactics, but professionals study logistics. But you have to have, I guess what I'm trying to say is, do you think, the first question is a two-part question, that the Zulus could defeat the central government's forces of the police and the military? Like the gangs have, Ms. Karen said that the gangs have manifested greatly, that the gangs there in South Africa have just waxed the floor with the army and the police. Could not the people in South Africa, the white people, do the same thing? I mean, or would you say wouldn't it be better to fight than to just stand and die? I mean, that's one. I'm just passing on questions mixed with my own questions from callers. So go ahead, answer those questions if you will, Skull.
Both questions can be answered by a simple yes. If the Zulus want to secede tonight, they can secede tonight. Yes, theoretically they can do that. But the army will not be able to stop them. Never mind the police. The army won't be able to stop them. And the Zulus are also very well armed. We don't know the weapon strength of the Zulus, but it must be tremendous. So yes. Relating to the white people, the thing standing between us and freedom is just simply because we cannot unite amongst ourselves. That's the biggest problem.
I've got to interrupt there. We have in this United States what we call self-hating white people, conservatives.
Uh-huh.
They'd run off of a cliff before they would be called a racist. They will adopt black children over their own. Let me ask you this, Skull. How many conservatives, how many self-hating whites are there in South Africa that would actually take the sides of the whites and fight against their own people? What's your guess? What's the percentage there?
I'm afraid to say maybe it's as much as 70%, 7 out of 10. And why do I say that? Because the old Democratic Party, the old Democratic Alliance, which is a social democrat party, by its own definition it is, 70% of white people still vote for them. So it tells me that their political allegiance is still so left-wing and so conservative.
You said 70, as in 70, 70% of the people there are self-hating,
yes,
and would fight. That's astounding. That's not that bad here in the United States. But Memphis, Tennessee, where I exercise all the time, is probably the worst place I know as far as conservative, self-hating whites, communists, you know, Bushelvik, Satanist Jews, pick, take your pick. But we have, I would say, at the tops, even in, at the worst section of Memphis, I'd say 40 to 50%. And the rest of Shelby County is probably maybe a third. My God, 70%. That's yes. I'm speechless. But continue on. Oh, well, we got to, please hold on. We got to go to a break. We'll come right back. And we'll go back to Miss Karen. We'll let her speak a while. And then we'll, if anybody has any questions, go ahead and send me your questions. We'll be right back, people. This is one hell of an interview. We're going to hold these people over for the second hour, so please hold on.